Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about something that we usually never do, which is a recent product launch. Hey.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Maybe the concept of beef as marketing? I don't know. We'll see. But during the last couple of weeks, there have not been many really impactful business product launches, I think, or at least if there were any.
We don't really talk about news on here. That's really what
we're
going
after,
right?
Yes.
We don't do that. But we're going to talk about news today.
We are. Because it's sort of fun. To me, at least, it's been fun to observe the Basecamp folks launch a new email product. It's called Hey. They teased it for a long time. They had a waiting list, and then they launched it. And even before they launched it, actually, they spent a good amount of time critiquing privacy in email, which was kind of curious, interesting. They always like to fight battles, especially when they have products in the battle in some way. But they always want to stand for some bigger idea, go after some big evil thing that needs killing and make it a cause. And so at the beginning, I thought it would be privacy, like they would just shoot at all these, you know, all these email providers that don't respect your privacy. I thought that would be the big battle. But it turns out the big battle is with Apple, which is even more fun.
So here's what's interesting. So these folks at Basecamp, launched Hey.com, and part of their marketing campaign pre-launch was privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Post-launch, it's not even that it's a battle with Apple, because I really don't think they expected it, frankly speaking.
Mm.
I think a lot of people think they're that smart or strategic, but they've even come out and said, we didn't expect this. I think one thing about this company that people don't realize is they're very straightforward and not as strategic as you might think, because they just have principles that have worked for them for 20 plus years, and they follow those principles. And they've written all those principles. In their Getting Real book, they have a section called Pick a Fight or Choose an Enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, their enemy was Gantt charts. I don't know if you recall at all, but with Basecamp, original Basecamp, it was Gantt charts. And they're like, the enemy's Gantt charts. Like, I mean, now with Hey, like, here's what I'm thinking. They don't need to make privacy the enemy when they launch, because it is identified in their product. Every time you get an email that has an open tracker or a click tracker, I think it's specifically around opens, if I'm not mistaken, which is a lot of email you get. Basically, all the marketing email you get has open tracking. They let you know. Dude, Stelly, they don't need to talk about it. Just use the product and you know. You just know who's tracking you. And they call it out. And they don't need to do anything else. They don't need to talk about it anymore. I think pre-launch, it was the one thing they could get everyone riled up about and get some momentum in their direction after like forever and a day of not launching anything. It's been years, many years before they got excited about something. I mean, they get excited about their new base camps, but not in this way.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything to launch.
Yeah.
I mean, we're back to like campaign-based launches. This was a campaign.
Yeah.
Privacy was just the best hook early on, and I'm sure they tested it with tweets. If you go back in history with some of their tweets, they tested it before they even threw down. They made a big deal out of it. They said, hey, that's bad. But they never really said, hey, we're building something against it yet. Like in the early, early days, I don't recall them actually going after it in a way where I was like, oh, they're building an email provider or email tool. Until they like, you know, really quickly came out with it. And I'm sure they tested, like seems to have tested different positioning before launch. So now post-launch, I think, honestly, they're doing what they do best, which is they're adapting to the narrative that gets shaped as time goes on. And they're ones that are happy to stand up for themselves when they believe somebody's doing them wrong. And we're just seeing that. And they believed Apple was treating them unfairly. And they made a big, 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 I can't even say big enough on this one, deal out of it, right? By basically saying, hey, Apple, that's not cool.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's like, I think maybe the other interesting angle around this is that because of the position that they have and the reputation, and this is not you know, it's not two founders that are starting, that are launching their first thing, right? They have a big successful business and they're wealthy and they have a big reputation and a very, very big following. And so they didn't just like take whatever unfair treatment they perceived to have gotten from Apple and were like behind the scenes trying to move it. They made it kind of front page news and started a very public battle with a company that, who starts battles with Apple?
Nobody.
Nobody. Everybody's terrified of Apple, right? If Apple doesn't like you, that's a problem in today's world. It's a big problem. And I think that they're kind of in this unique position of, A, they like fights. This is not everybody's thing in culture, especially DHH is somebody that loves to argue publicly with people and is good at it, right? Just likes to have fights. I think enjoys it to a certain degree. And so they're good at this. Then they love the David versus Goliath, kind of we're the small one that is treated unfairly by this massive organization. We're going to fight for what's right in the world. Like they love that position and they're really good at it. And it's part of their ethos and their principles. And then they're in this unique position where although they're so small, they're so independent, they're so wealthy, they're so successful with some other stuff that they're doing that they can make this big bet and start this really big public battle with a company that nobody wants to battle with because they're all terrified of them. So it's like a very unique position to be in. And I'm very curious, like typically Apple doesn't care. Like that would be what I would assume. Just Apple will shoulder shrug no matter how many tweets are out there and just go, we don't care. And that might work because it has always worked for them. And like, what are people going to do? Like, is anybody really going to boycott Apple because of this hay? Because, you know, the Basecamp's hay product didn't get what they want? No. But you see more and more people that came out and shared their stories of unfair treatment, right? Kind of gotten encouraged by that. So it's going to be interesting if this is going to build momentum and kind of become a bigger thing, or if it's going to kind of...
They already acquiesced to some extent. So they basically are going to follow some rules that Apple set out, and they're going to have like, you know, not to get in the weeds of it because that's not what we're really talking about, but they are actually going to acquiesce to Apple's demands to a great extent.
Mm.
And I think like you're basically dealing with two companies that are very principled.
Mm.
Apple's super principled. That's why they don't acquiesce. That's why they don't do anything.
Yeah.
When they see these stuff, they're like, this is what we believe. And we believe we know what's right. And that's the end of it. And there's nothing you can say to change our minds. But the Basecamp folks just kept pushing. And then they even, you know, for lack of a better way to think about it, it felt like they came to their senses to some extent and said, well, we're willing to do this. Apple, what do you think? And they tweeted that or something similar to that. And then Apple said, yeah, we're willing to work with you if you do that, those things that you mentioned. Now, what happened? That's the big question.
Hmm.
Because for me, that's them acquiescing, especially after having, that's Basecamp acquiescing, especially after having such a strong point of view about it. They decided, okay, we'll follow your rules, but we're not going to get charged 30% though, but we'll follow your rules. So they found a middle ground. Well, here's the thing. A lot of people that have found those middle grounds, like a bunch of people, have publicly said, we deal with this quietly. These folks just dealt with it in a noisy way. And that's what's interesting to me, which is they already found a solution to keep their stuff in the store, let their updates go through, and Apple be relatively happy. So what was all the big stink for? Well, if you start looking at the numbers, they doubled their wait list between roughly when they launched and when they basically, when this solution came about today, this morning, actually. So this is Monday morning right now when we're recording this. And it's WDC today as well. And I think both parties were somehow incentivized to solve this problem by today. And it got solved. And so in a way, it's almost like Apple did the smart PR move here. But Apple didn't have to do anything except say, okay, well, we're okay with your solution. And that's what a lot of developers do privately with Apple. Because it's Apple's platform. And I'm sure they have good reason to keep it the way it is. Regardless of what you think, it is they're very reasoned and principled. So their principles are their principles. So what's fascinating to me is like you had them create all this noise and there's a possibility they doubled their whole wait list as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it from a business standpoint, they did the right thing for their business, the folks at Basecamp did.
Yeah.
and this whole idea of picking a fight, choosing an enemy, and the strategy that they use is quite an effective one if you can stomach it.
Mm.
Because there will be people that hate you when you pick a fight.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Right? And Basecamp can stomach it. Hey is designed around this idea that we need to change the way email is done. And what people don't appreciate, just for a quick second about it, is what these folks are trying to do is a freaking game changer. Because, let me point this out, you have alternative email clients, but you don't have alternative full-on power my whole email services. So there's Google that does it, there's Microsoft that does it, there's Apple that does it, and then there's literally nobody else except a bunch of small players that power your email fully. And now you have Hey. And if you just focus on business use cases, because that's what Hey has already come out and said, that's what they're all about. Think about it. They're 37 Signals, they're Basecamp. They use their own stuff for version one, and that's what they say. We build it for us. They're using it for all of Basecamp's emails right now, all their 50 people. So they already know how it works at a company. And they're going to turn on work email. They already have a page and everything, so you can apply for that wait list. So like, this is one, brilliant, and two, extremely ambitious compared to like Superhuman or any of those little clients, because they're not powering the full email stack. They're on top of Gmail or on top of Outlook or whatever. So it's underappreciated how serious and important this business is for the future of their business. This is a business that will likely be a lot bigger than Basecamp over time.
Boom. There you go. And it took them a minute, right? It took them
a damn good minute.
They were doing all these fucking apps, and then they were like, fuck all this. We're only going to do Basecamp. We're killing everything. And then they're like, Basecamp is the shit. We're only going to focus on that. And then you knew this was probably not true. And then it took a couple of years, and then boom. And you got to give it to them. They're going big. The idea is big. The brand, everything, the launch. They're attempting something truly big. And you can tell that they're excited about it. And you can tell it took something like this to get them excited again to launch something.
Yes. Brand.
So, hey, from the sidelines, I think both you and I are applauding and tipping our hat, you know, and wishing Godspeed that this is going to work out and be a huge success.
We need another email option, truthfully, from the ground up, not some client bullshit. Like, we need a ground up option. That is the best way to reinvent email, is start from the ground up. And they're doing it. And I don't see anyone else trying, frankly speaking. That's why, forget their marketing, forget all of that. They are doing it. I don't see anyone else trying. That's admirable. Like, in software land and in SaaS as a founder, that's bold. And they're doing something bold, and they're not venture-backed. Sure, they have a bunch of capital. They can throw it at it, but they earned that. They're not raising money for this. It has nothing to do with that. They get to do it their way. That's also very, very different than what most of us look at when we think about how these big companies are invented.
There you have it, folks. The Hey launch, very interesting, incredible product. The team is obviously, everybody who's listening to this podcast knows the Basecamp folks, but they're back. They're back.
They're back, and it's exciting. It's nice to see.
Yes, there you go. All right, that's it from us for this episode. We'll hear you very soon. Bye-bye.
Take care.